Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This program is brought to you weekly by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Stay tuned for today's message.
Welcome, listening friends, to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. What a joy and a privilege it is for Elder David Wise and myself, Elder Joe Nettles, to bring you these messages each and every week. If you have not been able to avail yourself of this broadcast over the airwaves, then you can go to gospel-of-grace.com. You can listen to archived messages as a church locator, frequently asked questions regarding what is a Primitive Baptist. Many resources. We'd love for you to go and visit that. And while you're there, drop us an email. Let us know that you're listening. If you have questions or concerns or even dissent, we would love to hear from you. That's at gospel-of-grace.com. We'd like to welcome you to our local churches. The one I endeavor to serve is Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, outside of Caledonia, Mississippi, in the Bartahatchee community. We meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. Elder David Wise, who assists me in this radio ministry, he pastors Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road near Ackerman, Mississippi, right on Highway 15 between Mathiston and Ackerman, near the Reform community. And they also meet 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning except the first Sunday morning, you'll find Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church gathering together at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and they are located on 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi, just outside of Starkville. They are a dear group and would absolutely love to have you come and visit with them. Come and visit us. We would love to have you. We also meet a fellowship meeting, 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening, on the grounds of New Covenant Church at 200 West Garrod Road in Starkville, Mississippi. We have an abbreviated message and song service, and then we break bread together, eat supper, and visit. And we invite you to come at 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening, New Covenant Church, 200 West Garrod Road in Starkville. Today we have an installment for you in a three-part series of messages titled Jeremiah's Answer to Judah's Apostasy. And we hope that you'll stay tuned with us, and we'll be right back with today's message.
Jesus Christ, our Lord, be praised.
What a great joy I have to be able to speak with you again on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. And thank you for staying tuned with us. And I'm Joe Nettles. And we're carrying on with a series of messages called titled Jeremiah's Answer to Judah's Apostasy. I plan on giving the third installment of this series of messages, and it's centered around Jeremiah chapter 44. And the context of this is Nebuchadnezzar is, and the Babylonian army has come back in, has defeated Judah once again, torn down the kingship of Zedekiah, that false king that had been installed there by Nebuchadnezzar to begin with. And this was because Zedekiah and the Jews reached out to Egypt to try to get out from under the bondage of Babylon. They were trying to rebel against Babylon. Now, somebody without a knowledge of the scriptures may say, well, that sounds like a good idea. Babylon was very wicked. Maybe they were just doing what was politically expedient. But yet it was not according to the word of God, because the Babylonian captivity was a judgment that God had imposed upon Judea for their rebelliousness, for their idolatry. And they had been warned by the prophet Jeremiah and others that they were to humble themselves under this captivity of Babylon and not to go to Egypt. Well, what happened? The poor folks that were left behind in Judea, Jeremiah, now they've gone down to Egypt. And Jeremiah is encouraging them. He's prophesying against them. He's rebuking them. He's trying to encourage them to repentance. But we've spoken about how apostasy, rebellion against God, how it just starts small, but it gets larger. We also talked about how people try to justify their ways by pointing to the practices of their forefathers. The practices that they're practicing in a false way looks very similar to the way they used to. And they'll claim even their forefathers and the precedents set by them in word or practice to try to justify themselves. Another sad and pitiful way that they'll try to justify their rebellion is to try to claim that the old ways are too restrictive and outdated, and now things are different. Times are changed. Times are different. But friends, as we know, the old saying, the old adage is, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Do you know why things stay the same the more they change? Because the fallen, pitiful, corrupt human nature in which we're all born into in this world, it's never gotten any better. It's always just as corrupt. And so therefore, the more things change, the more they stay the same. A pertinent question after our last point, when they said, you know, the old ways are too restrictive. You know, they said, you know, we as women were able to pour out these services unto these pagan gods, the queen of heaven, that we're able to pour out drink offerings. We're able to burn incense, whereas before it was only the men. But now we can do this without our husbands. And this was condemned. It's condemnable. And they're claiming that, well, you know, the old worship under the law was too restrictive and we're justified in getting out from under it. But a pertinent question here, brothers and sisters, when we start considering our ways and to make sure that we're not rebelling against the word of God, that we don't start small and increase our scope in rebellion, even unto apostasy against God. Are we to believe that the Bible can get out of date? Again, I ask the question, are we to believe, should we believe that the Bible can get out of date? Let's look at a few passages of scripture to refute that. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. See, it's always profitable. If there was something out of date about the word in the day in which Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, gave it to Timothy, if there was something that was ever going to be unprofitable about it, then this word doesn't hold. But he said, it is profitable. It's always profitable. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means mature, truly or thoroughly, as we would say, furnished unto all good works. There's not one good thing you need to do now or in the future that you're not equipped to do by learning the word of God, the Bible. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, here listing great gifts of the ministry that was given by the Holy Ghost unto the church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Again, the maturing, the growth of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Well, those are wonderful gifts. Thank God for them. And that they're all three wonderful reasons for all these pastoral gifts, all of these ministering gifts that are all rooted in the Word of God, mind you. We're talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers, all rooted in the inspired Word of God. And it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To what end? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What's he saying? All of these gifts are given to the church based upon a word given to the church that should never change in the church. These things are that we should not be like children, saying, oh, I'm a lot older now than I used to be. I'm a lot more wise now. I'm able to change the doctrines than I used to be before I was a child. But now I'm a full-grown Christian. No, if you're leaving the Word of God and the tried and true precepts and doctrines, then you are not a Christian. You are branching off into rebellion, and eventually it could grow into apostasy. We don't want to be children tossed to and fro. We don't want to be moved. We want to be on the rock, have our houses built upon the rock, that the wind and the waves can assail it, but yet it will stand because it's built upon the unchanging rock of Jesus Christ. Okay? So yes, the Word of God is not supposed to change. It's just as current. It's even more current today than today's morning news broadcast. It is what we need now. And if this world stands another 3,000 years, it'll be what we need 3,000 years from now. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice here, we're going to see that Peter is going to equate the writings of Paul with Scripture. What did they have as Scripture primarily in that day? They had the Old Testament Scriptures. That was the greatest body of Scriptures that they had. Peter equated the Pauline epistles as Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. There, in one fell swoop, anyone who wants to say that the New Testament Scriptures are on some lower standing than all of the other passages of the Bible, that has been defeated. Hereby you have been disabused of that false notion. All right, now let's look at Jeremiah's answer after all of this pitiful, all of these pitiful, weak rationales, all of this rationalization that these apostate Jews, thumbing their nose at God, embracing paganism. Let's see what Jeremiah's answer is to them. Notice a basic fact that we've declared earlier in this series of messages. Just because God doesn't take away your toys immediately doesn't mean you're being blessed in those toys, in that rebellion, in your playhouse. Brothers and sisters, it will eventually fall. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 20. Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people which had given them that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And came it not into his mind? So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abominations which ye have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation, and an astonishment, and a curse, without an inhabitant, as at this day. See, the children of Israel thought, well, you know, if we put away these false gods in action, and pretend to go through the motions of being followers of Jehovah again, then everything should get better. But things got worse, and they said, aha! See, we had more victuals and more riches back then. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. God's going to judge you for that foolishness on his own timetable. He doesn't give one hoot about your timetable. God is sovereign, and God does things in his own time. And if it temporarily seems to get a little better in your vision, believe you me, his ways are higher than your ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Your ways are not his ways. His ways aren't yours. And so therefore, he'll bring down judgment in his own good time. Okay? He will judge those abominable ways. Notice now, the Lord will delay judgment for sins. He'll give space for repentance. However, this season of judgment will come. We see this time and again in the Word of God. Just because God doesn't immediately judge it, people think, well, if I'm doing something wrong, God's going to strike me with a lightning bolt. God does not tend to work that way. He hasn't tended to work that way throughout history. He hasn't tended to work that way in the record of Scripture, and he doesn't tend to work that way day in and day out. But one way he does work, and one thing that's 100%, is that all of this wickedness is judged. And if you can't tell it's judged here in time, I guarantee you, you will plainly see it judged at the bar of divine justice on the judgment day. It does come under judgment. It will not escape the judgment of God. Now notice, God judges us in his own time. God comes in rebuke and in chastisement in his own time. All right? And just because we think things are going along pretty well right now, you better take warning, Will Robinson. You better back up. You better humble yourself. I'll tell you, God does not forget. God is long-suffering, true, but God will not be mocked. Notice in Psalms 101, verse 2, the psalmist declares, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Why should we do this? Typically, behaving ourselves wisely in a perfect way. He goes on to say, oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. He's saying, if I don't walk this way, judgment will come upon me, and I won't know exactly when it will come. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? So, how do we avoid that? How do we continue to enjoy the blessings and the benefits we enjoy today? By continuing in his ways and not seeking our own self-willed path of vanity. Notice in Luke chapter 13, he spake also this parable, beginning of verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Now here, he's about to use an object lesson. He's about to use this fig tree and what he's going to do to this fig tree as a lesson about how he was at this very present time when it was spoken, dealing with the rebellious nation of Israel, who, though he came into his own received him not. So they were about to wither. They were about to come under great judgment. The judgment had already begun. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, here this laborer prayed unto the one who had the right and the authority to cut it down. He intervened. He interceded on the behalf of this fig tree. And he said, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. Lord, let me work on it. Let me give labor. Let me beg it. Let me plead. Let me preach. Let me rebuke. Let me do these things that need be. And in verse 9, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. You see, friends, this parable matches perfectly what happened to that fig tree as Jesus was there in Bethphage, there on the outskirts of Jerusalem in the days of his coming into Jerusalem before his crucifixion. That tree withered, and here he's talking about a fruit tree that bore no fruit thereon. Now, notice to the church at Thyatira, this letter to the church at Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Here, John writes unto them in the inspiration of the Spirit of God, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Now, these are the words of Christ unto this church. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. God is not under any obligation to give any space at all. God commands, and we should accomplish. And if we don't, then we are perfectly, he is perfectly in his right to judge us immediately. And let me tell you something, brother and sister, breaking one of the laws of God, God could justly and rightly send us all to a lake of fire forevermore. Not only that he has saved us to be able to dwell with him in heaven after a while, but he allows us to walk and to talk on this earth today. Our God is a good and a gracious God. And don't you say otherwise, I won't have it. He said, even just Jezebel, he said, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. God said, I'm going to do this in my own time, but I will do it. You see, the Lord takes willful rebellion from his word very, very seriously. So realizing this, let me give you a little side note. Before you go to the bookstore and pick up a copy of the Bible, you better be very careful about which one you're picking up. Now, I'm not saying that many of these Bibles you pick up off of the store shelves, that you can't find some passages in there that have been ably translated. I'm not saying they're all full of mistranslations, of perversions. But I am saying, my friends, don't you want to find the best one? Don't you want to find the one? One of them must be preserved in the English language infallible. This is a promise of God. We could go to many statements, both direct and inferences from the Word of God that teach us that in this present day and age, until Jesus returns, his Word, his preserved and inspired Word as a whole, as infallible, must be among us. Now, we in the English-speaking community need to ask ourselves, which one is it? And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, I see absolutely zero reason to stray away from the 1611 King James translation. Okay? Zero reason to stray away from that. And I see very little to no reason why I should ever crack open the NIV or any of these other Bible versions. I warn you, be careful. Be careful. Go with the King James translation. You're not going to go wrong. Okay? Now, seeing that the Lord takes willful rebellion from his word very seriously, and we know this because in Jeremiah 44, verse 23, he said, because ye have burned incense and because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law and his statutes, nor in his testimonies. What's he saying there? Those are always saying the word of God. Therefore, this evil is happened unto you as at this day. I told you I was going to judge it. You thought things going along fine. God hath not forgotten. Wherefore should the wicked contemn God? He'll say, God is not keeping up with this. God will not remember it. God will not judge it. I guarantee you eventually God will judge it. America has tried to purge God from the schools. America has tried to purge God from the halls of Congress and the White House and the Supreme Court. And America has tried to purge God from the American conscience by the ways of media. And I'm here to tell you they've lived prosperously for a long time. But one of these days, God is going to break dog from sucking eggs. And it's happening right under our noses. And people who are not reading and studying their Bibles are too biblically dumb and too ignorant to see it happening. Oh, let's just embrace one more transvestite, shall we? Oh, let's just marry one more sodomite couple, shall we? Balderdash. Repent, I tell you. God has not changed. His word has not changed. And I'll tell you, these rude manners will come under judgment. All right? Notice in Romans chapter 11, verse 20. Notice now the Gentiles were standing by faith. This was a primarily Gentile church in the days in which the Roman epistle was written. In Romans chapter 11, he said, you're standing because of faith. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, talking about the unbelieving Jews. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Now, I'll give you a little side note. The entity from which they were being cut off, the tree under consideration here, is not eternal life. But it is the joys of the kingdom of eternal life down here on this world. You can lose that. You can be cut off from it. Can you lose your eternal life in Christ? No, you can't, because it's eternal. But I'll tell you, these people were standing by true biblical faith. The Apostle Paul addressed them as such. And even in their faith, he said, what you have, you can lose. They weren't going to lose eternal life, but you can lose the joys of your eternal life. You can be made just like David was in Psalm 51. Return unto me the joy of thy eternal life. All right? Of thy salvation, David said. Brothers and sisters, we need to take heed God has given you in the Word of God what you need to know. Psalm 119, verse 9, for example. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, the young men back then are dead. Well, people have been born young and they keep getting older. So in every age of time, I could infer that this applies to every age of time. We still have young men getting older. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, unto thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. What is at risk is hearing the words of God, His special guidance, His provision, if we stray away from it, my friends, and we don't want to lose that. He has the sovereign right to blind us and or deny us blessings that we otherwise could have. Let us be very careful. Let us not espouse the rebellious attitudes of the Judeans in this day and age, or the inhabitants of Jerusalem, or even so many who curse God, willingly use His name in vain, and just go line up to see media that will deny Him and try to ridicule God. God will not be ridiculed. God is God, and He's still real. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, I love Him. I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is all man and all God. And I encourage you, if you're sick and tired of this blaspheming world, if you're sick and tired of this new age, newfangled type of worship, laser light shows and rappers and heavy metal and, taking away the word of God and replacing it with 10-minute sermonettes while they force down your throat threats of hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ. Oh, and by the way, let me tell you how much money you need to give this month. Oh, if you're tired of that rot, then I encourage you, leave it. And come to a place where we're still striving to walk in the old ways. Oh, we're not perfect in the Primitive Baptist Church. Oh, but we're striving. And we want you to come strive with us. We want to get better. We want to get closer. We want to be more like Jesus every day. Until we're able to speak with you again, may the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shine down upon you today.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your area. Visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com to search for a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find additional contact information. This program is also available on iTunes under podcasts with the title, The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. If you enjoy our program, send us an email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. Come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30. And tune in next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord.